reading is taken from Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May my words and our thoughts be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Twenty-five years ago today, it was a Thursday. It was Ascension Day. We'd been in retreat for 4 days, and at long last, we were to be priested. And there were three of us from St. John's. Jenny Lowwater, now retired but still helping at Botley. Jane Hedges, Jane Taylor when she was here, Dean of Norwich, and me. It had been a long, long 7 years since women were first ordained as deacons, as General Synod haggled and agonised over whether women could ever be priests. There was pain, frustration, distress on both sides. But eventually, way back in November 1992, before mobile phones, the vote was passed, with legal safeguards for those who couldn't accept us, and preparation for the next stage began. It was immensely hard for our bishop, Timothy, because he'd voted against the measure, believing that the Church of England should not decide such a momentous step on its own, and he had to work out whether he could ordain us as priests or whether he'd have to import another bishop to do it for him. After much prayer and real agony, he decided to our great joy that he couldn't bear to sit in his cathedral and watch his deacons being ordained by another bishop. He would do it himself. And on May the 12th, 1994, he did. It was a wonderful experience. Some of you were there. And on the Sunday, the next day, I presided at the Eucharist for the first time in QA Chapel, where I was a chaplain, QA Hospital, where I was a chaplain. And in the evening, presided here, with Anne assisting as deacon and reminding me what was where when I got too excited. I tried to do the absolution before you'd actually done the confession. And it's really lovely to have her here again today. And that all feels like history now. We have women bishops too, lots of them. And Joanne Grenfell, who's archdeacon of over the other side of the diocese, is going to be Bishop of Stepney. And most of the church, but not all, welcomes us, and it feels normal. As we prepared for priesthood, Bishop Timothy asked me in my formal interview if what I really wanted was to be a bishop. And I was speechless, which doesn't often happen. I didn't, and I'm too old anyway. But I do desperately want the balance of wise women and men bishops, priests and deacons in the church, and the modelling of an integrated, inclusive ministry, both to the church and to the world. Because that's the point of ministry, to remind us that it belongs to every single baptised Christian, male and female, not just to us in funny collars. Today is actually Vocation Sunday, when we thank God that he calls every single one of us to respond to his love, to follow his call to us. It may be to ordain or read a ministry, to serve on the PCC, to work with our children and young people, to help with services, read, pray, lead groups, clean the church, make the coffee, arrange the flowers, clear up the grounds, or to pray for those who are able to be active and do those things. Today's gospel reminds us that we will encounter Jesus when we think we're doing very ordinary things. The disciples have been through the appalling experience of seeing their Lord, their friend, crucified on Good Friday. They were bewildered and mystified and filled with a hope they didn't understand by Jesus' appearance among them after Easter Day. But now it seemed to be over. "I'm going fishing," said Simon Peter. "Oh, we'll go with you," said the others. "It'll be good to get back to work and take our mind off things. Let's get back to normal." So off they go. But it's a disastrous night. They don't catch a thing. And then all semblance of normality vanishes. And they find themselves caught up in an experience of the risen Christ which will affect the whole course of their lives. This gospel account has so much in it. A catch of 153 fish? Why such a specific number? Jesus on the shore, eventually recognized by his friends. The breakfast on the beach with the sharing of fish and the breaking of bread. And then the restoration and commissioning of Peter, which you'll hear about next week. All are important moments with layer upon layer of meaning, and scholars have written reams about them. The account of how the disciples caught the fish by following Jesus' instructions is very like the story at the very beginning of Luke's gospel, when Jesus borrows Simon's boat so that he can talk to the crowd without being crushed, and then tells Peter to let his nets down on the other side. Peter does as he was told, although he'd caught nothing all night, and the catch nearly swamps the boat. "Don't be afraid," said Jesus. "From now on, you will be catching people." And Luke tells us Peter and James and John left everything and followed him. That was a beginning, when Simon Peter had no idea of the sacrifice, the pain, or the joy which would be part of being a disciple of Jesus. Now he does know. He's denied his love for Jesus 3 times, and he wept when the cock crowed, as Jesus said it would. But now he's responded instantly to John's cry, "It is the Lord," by leaping out of the boat and wading to the shore. Again, there's a mighty catch of fish. "Come and have breakfast," Jesus says, and he has bread and other fish ready for them. This is no ordinary picnic. John, in his gospel, doesn't give us an account of what happened at the Last Supper, probably because by the time he wrote his gospel, it was already part of the normal practice of the Christian church. But the actions of Jesus in this shared meal are without doubt those of the Eucharist. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. The disciples didn't need or dare to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And we're reminded again of that couple on the road to Emmaus who recognized Jesus when he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. Simon Peter thought his circle was complete. He'd begun as a fisherman and now he was going back to work. Things could get back to normal. The real importance of this story, for us as well as for Peter, is that it shows Jesus breaking into his disciples' lives when they're involved in their ordinary, everyday jobs and activities. The power of the risen Christ isn't limited to a particular day of the week or a particular place. He's there at the lakeside, recognized at once by John, the beloved disciple, ready to welcome and restore Peter, who denied him, ready himself to feed his disciples. This is the link between the highly charged appearances in the garden or in the upper room and us, ordinary people doing ordinary things, getting back to normal after Easter. And it's disturbing, exciting, confusing, and amazing. But we are here, about to recognize and receive Christ as we take bread, bless, break, and share it here, now, in this present, in this place. We look back to that lakeside breakfast which had such a profound effect on his disciples, and we look forward to whatever will happen to us in this ordinary week ahead of us, knowing that we go into it with the power of the risen Christ within us. Amen.